Welcome to Cat Chat, brought to you by Dr. Elsie's Precious Cat, privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose personal mission has been to formulate a wide variety of litters for all types of cats so they keep using their litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. Dr. Elsie has also created clean protein, wet and dry foods that are specifically appropriate for a cat's nutrition needs. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give your kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment. Often sharing my conversation with feline expert Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, along with other cat authors and experts. Dr. Elsie's is also the founding and continuing sponsor of my New York Cat Film Festival, which brings together short films from around the world that celebrate kitty cats. The festival premieres every fall in New York City and then travels to theaters across America and Canada, with a portion of every ticket going to local cat welfare organizations with the support of Dr. Elsie's. Dr. Michael Maria Delgado and I are back, and today we're going to talk about Asian cats, what makes them special and different. A few weeks ago, we talked about very vocal cats and talked about how the Siamese and some other related cats are more vocal than others, and I thought, I don't really know that much about Asian cats. I sort of knew there were Siamese and Burmese, and I thought that was kind of it. Well, I'm going to run down the list of the purebred cats known as Asians. And then Dr. Michael's going to help us know more about them, how they got to be who they are, and what we need to know if we're bound and determined to have a purebred kitty. So this is the name of the breeds. Oriental is the name of a breed. I stupidly didn't even know that. Siamese, Tonkinese, Turkish Angora, Bengal, Egyptian Mao, Japanese Bobtail, Persians, and Burmese. So there's may even be others, but that's the.
There's others, yes.
I mean, there's something called the Himalayan and Cornish Rex, Sphinx, Peter Bald, Blue Point Siamese, Long Haired Siamese.
Tonkinese in there?
Tonkinese, I said earlier. And then there's also okay. The Balinese cat is the Long Haired Siamese. So what makes the cats Asian or fit into this category, this subcategory of purebred cats?
Yeah, it's interesting because, well, first of all, I'm going to say I'm not like a purebred cat specialist, and I, you know, my behavior is my focus, but I do know about genetics and I do know about breeding, and certainly there's some of these breeds of cats are more closely related than others that we can kind of see why some of them would be physically or behaviorally more similar. And I think the most important thing for everyone to know is that all of these cats, aside from Bengal, so Bengal is a hybrid breed. So that means two species being mated. So a domestic cat being mated with a wild Asian leopard cat. But aside from that, all the other breeds you listed are breeds of cats. All cats originated from the African wildcat species. So they're all genetically the same species. So that's an important consideration because sometimes people don't really understand the distinction between like a species and a breed or a
correct.
Hybrid.
Yes.
Yeah. So, so they're all cats except for the Bengal, which we'll just set the Bengals aside for now, because they are a hybrid. So all of these breeds came from cats. And then what happens is, basically humans begin making decisions about which cats breed and which cats don't breed. Right. And so there's some geographical, separation. So a lot of the breeds you mentioned did originate in different parts of Asia. So those cats were, to an extent, geographically separated from other cats around the world.
Right.
And so that's how you get these kind of localized selection by humans for particular traits. And sometimes it's a geographical thing, like maybe cats do better in a certain location maybe because of the weather, so they need longer hair. Or maybe it's hot, so they have a more like slender, muscular body or something.
Right.
So sometimes traits can kind of evolve on their own due to factors in the environment that maybe humans are not particularly involved in. But then you have more selective breeding where humans are saying, ooh, I like this look. I like this personality trait. I like this physical feature. I'm going to breed cats with these features together so that we can more reliably create more cats who have those features. So if we think about Siamese cats, right? They have large ears, they have long limbs, they have that wedge-shaped head, muscular bodies, but that didn't come overnight, right? That took years of of changes, like I said, either environmental things that pressured those cats to mate, and then the cats who had those features might have been more successful.
Right.
Or humans said, no, we like cats with these features. We're going to breed more of them so we get more kittens that have these features. So a lot of these breeds that you mentioned are related to the Siamese. So there was some research, I think it came out like 2008, and geneticist Dr. Les Lyons, who's one of the foremost feline geneticists in the world, was involved in that research. And they created what's called a cladogram, which is a depiction of cat relationships or genetic relationships between different breeds or different species. And so we see that some of these cats are more closely related, like the Siamese, the Burmese, which is the Siamese outcross, the Tonkinese, the Oriental short hair and long hair, so all of the Oriental breed subtypes, are more closely related than, say, Persians and Angora cats, who might also be considered Asian cats, but they actually originated from different geographical areas, and they are less closely related than the Siamese. So what's changed in the last, you know, few decades is that we do have more involved genetic testing to look at the entire genome of different cat breeds, and then you can kind of see where there are similarities and differences. And that's how, when you do a genetic test on your cat, whether they're purebred or a mixed breed, you can get the information about your cat's breed composition.
And if you think of the differences just physically, the mm-hmm. Siamese has this long, slender face, mm-hmm. where the Persian has this brachycephalic face. It's smashed in. I mean, they don't look like they should be. It's almost the difference in dogs between an English bulldog and a greyhound. I mean, they look so different, and that's from mostly human manipulation, but it's hard to imagine mm-hmm. they're even related. They do almost look like creatures from different planets. And it's, you're saying, true. They're from different continents, so they are different planets in a sense, because people got involved saying, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I want, you know, items 1, 3, 7, and 4 off of list A. I mean, that's what people do. People aren't bad. It's just what humans do. They like to control the things around them, whether it's their animals, their furniture, their landscaping. It's just how we are, right?
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the history of cat breeding, you know, 150 years ago, there were only 5 recognized cat breeds. And that's obviously changed a lot since then. So a lot of these breeds are new. A lot of them were created by doing what's called outcrossing. I guess, so the concept of breed is also a little bit vague, right? Like, basically there's a breed standard. Siamese cats are expected, if they're considered purebred, usually they're in the registry. So you have to register your cat, which basically says this cat is part of this club, the Siamese club, and they're allowed to breed. Then there's kind of a pedigree where they, you know, trace the lineage of each individual cat or kitten, and that's usually a sign of a reputable breeder, is that their cats are registered and they're tracking the pedigree and limiting which cats breed and that sort of thing. So again, making sure that the breed meets a certain standard. And so then some of these other breeds were actually created by taking a Siamese cat and crossbreeding them with a different cat, maybe a domestic short hair that had different features that they liked. That's how Burmese were created. That's how snowshoes have been created. That's how the Oriental breeds, Tonkinese is a Siamese Burmese cross. So there's a lot of mixing and matching. And then again, at some point, people decide, like, well, this cat's different enough. And they consistently create kittens that have this particular look. So now we're going to call it a new breed, but a lot of it is kind of arbitrary, and genetically the test may or may not kind of match what your cat's registry is. So it's important to kind of understand that this is, it's all kind of a human creation.
It is.
And you know, I mean, some people feel very strong. I mean, usually people who love the Asian cat breeds have very strong feelings, and the traits that can be annoying to some people, other people love, like the loudness and the, you know, the Siamese kind of has that kind of meow. That's you know, some people just can't stand the sound of it, and other people, it's music to their ears. They just love the neediness that these cats tend to have. They're kind of like, the stereotypical traits of these breeds are that they're very interactive with people. They're very vocal.
Right.
What I do like to remind people is that, you know, and this is true of dogs as well, there's more differences within a breed than between. And what that means is that that breeds are not that different from one another behaviorally. There are, and I'm not saying there's not any differences, but you could have a Siamese cat who is not needy, and you could have a Siamese cat who's very needy. So I always hesitate to say all Siamese right. cats are X, Y, or Z, or every Persian is X, Y, or Z, because people then go in with an expectation. They don't treat the cat as an individual, and they right. kind of go in expecting that the cat's going to have a certain personality before the cat has even had a chance to express their personality. So I always warn people.
It's a great point. It's a great point.
Individuals.
And then also language is used, adjectives are used, like needy, which is, by the way, a word I'm not a fan of. Because I'm just saying.
Yes.
Because people do it with even golden retrievers. Oh, right. They're like Velcro dogs. They're so needy. They need yes. affection all the time. Actually, yes. they are bred to be connected to you, to make sure. eye contact, to make physical contact. I lived with a friend for a while who had two Burmese. And, I mean, you couldn't walk in a room without them being just like, hi, how are you? What are you doing? What are you in the room for? What yes. do you want to do now? I loved them. They were great. I didn't love the Siamese that I lived with when I stayed in somebody else's apartment, which I've mentioned, because that meow did make me want to jump out the window. And it was on a hillside in Hong Kong, and I might have rolled all the way into the harbor. So it would not have been a good thing. But, it's really true that the adjectives are really important in terms of what people's expectations are, because there's various breeds that aren't the Orientals that, they're so affectionate and they're so playful. Mm-hmm. You may have an individual who's like crabby.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that thing you want to do. And they're like, oh, I got a dud, right? Instead of, right. This guy only wants to play in certain ways at certain times. And your book is going to help people understand that too, that sure. there isn't just one way of playing or one way mm-hmm. of interacting.
Yeah.
And it isn't so much based on the physical look. I mean, there can be tendencies, but again, those words are tricky, right?
Yeah.
A cat who's aloof. Well, that mm-hmm. sounds kind of like a rude cat, depending on what that word means to you, like a snob cat. It's got mm-hmm. like an attitude. It's really just a cat who's, you could use other words that are really positive, like really independent, really centered within himself, real, right? So you could use a Zen cat, or you could call it you could call it cool and collected or aloof, and it sort of depends on what that means to the individual. How do they breed cats to have the flopped over ears or the teeny tiny ears or the Japanese bobtail with no tail? I've always thought, but if you inbreed everyone who has no tail, surely you get terrible physical things happen genetically because you're really inbreeding.
I mean, and that's the thing. When you get too fixated on like kind of the purity of the breed, and that's like, a loaded term, but I think a lot of this is very much kind of like an artificial creation, which is that, if you're trying to focus on these physical traits, especially when they're extreme, so you're selectively breeding, again, cats who have these traits. Well, a lot of times the trait you're breeding for, like folded ears with the Scottish fold, it turns out that there's other genetic things that are hitching along for the ride that can lead to disease. And because you're limiting your gene pool by selective breeding, you're increasing the chance that that the cats are going to have offspring that are now, if both parents are a carrier of a disease, so they may not look affected, or they may not appear to be affected, say for like an eye disease or a heart disease. Well, because each parent has a copy of that variant in that particular gene, a certain percentage of the kittens are going to be affected, meaning that they have both variants of that genetic location that leads to a disease. So what that means is that purebred animals are at a greater risk of many health conditions because, again, when you limit the gene pool, you are you're increasing the risk that cats are going to inherit two copies of detrimental genes. And so it's kind of like why we don't usually marry our cousins, right?
You're exactly. Because you wind up with chinless wonders and you have a distorted version of an excellent human.
Yeah. So if you are, and I will say, if you are interested in owning a purebred cat, you should really work carefully with the breeder and find out what health conditions that breed is more at risk for. So, for example, Siamese are at increased risk of progressive retinal atrophy. They're at increased risk for different cancers. They're at increased risk for asthma. Persian cats are at an increased risk for polycystic kidney disease, heart disease, so hip dysplasia. So you want to make sure that the breeders are testing their breeding cats for these conditions so that they're ensuring that they're not breeding two carriers or yes. affected cats together. They're, you know, that they're being responsible in testing their breeding stock to make sure they're increasing the chance that they're going to have healthy kids. And, you know, I, personally, I mean, I don't deal with a lot of purebred cats in my business. 95% of cats that we live with are not purebreds. So purebreds make up a very small proportion of the cat population, but they get a lot of attention because they tend to be, you know, exotic and pretty. And, you know, that's because they've been bred for specific features. But so, you know, you can get lots of beautiful Siamese mixed cats from a shelter.
Yes.
There's tons of, I was surprised when I started working at an animal shelter, how many Siamese there were. Other breeds are rare, but I can probably say that while I worked in the shelter, I saw almost every kind of fancy breed at least once or twice. So it's
well,
not
that's exactly what I was going to jump in and say is that they say that a third of the animals, dogs or cats in shelters are purebred. So if you really like a look or a kind of way of, you know, get to know the cat before you take it home, but if you love the look, there's a good chance that it is purebred. It's just not going to have the papers. Oh, poor Michael, she's having a coughing fit, but we've run out of time. So don't worry. We've said so many good things about it. And don't be freaked out, people that do rescue and TNR, and don't hate breeders. Don't hate people who want purebred cats. It's all good. They're all cats. They're very much loved by the people who create them and the people who buy them. And there's no bad cats, okay? And there's no bad cat people. If everyone's trying to do their best, we have to presume they are trying to do their best. And luckily, there aren't really kitten mills where there's puppy mills, because
I would not.
Are there some?
True. There are, for sure.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, I think the most important thing is to work with someone who's again being conscientious about what they're
Got
doing.
It. And well, we may have to do another show about kitty mills, because if that's true, then I need my eyes opened, because I've been thinking there's so many cats for adoption that it lessens, and so many gorgeous random cats for adoption that there's less of a desire to have the equivalent in dogs of a French bulldog. I must have one or I will die. You know, I mean, there are people who say, if I can't have a Blue Point Siamese, I don't want a cat. That's all right. Just keep on looking. You'll find one. Anyway, thank you for all your wisdom, Dr. Michael. And we will discuss kitty mills in another show.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you for listening. I hope this conversation has deepened your understanding and appreciation of cats everywhere. It's been brought to you by Dr. Elsie's Precious Cat, which created their own clean protein cat foods, inspired by the protein levels found in a cat's natural prey, to better satisfy a cat's appetite with ingredients naturally intended for her body. 90% of the protein in clean protein is animal-based, not plant-based, as in many cat foods, which can compromise cats' health. Clean protein is the first dry cat food I can personally recommend as a healthy choice, although I always hope that wet food will be your cat's primary diet. Thanks again for being here.